الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة عماد الدين، فمن أقامها أقام الدين، فمن تركها فقد هدم الدين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama ikram, brothers in Islam, Allah Rabbul Izzat has blessed us with the ability to see, but this is not our salient feature. Allah Rabbul Izzat has granted us the ability to hear, but this is not our salient feature. Allah Rabbul Izzat has enabled us to converse, to speak, but this is not our salient feature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to think logically, rationally, and He has granted us intelligence. But this also, my brothers, is not our salient feature. Salient feature which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the Muslims is the dawlat of Iman. If we have got strong Iman, it will benefit us in this world, in the Qabr and the Akhirah. Those features Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hearing, seeing, speaking, five senses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us free to utilize, if we use it in the right direction, in accordance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law, the way Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us, then we will be rewarded for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased. But contrary to that, if we do the opposite, if we utilize those features, those abilities, those faculties in the wrong place, the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend, grip us, punish us, and destroy us. Presently, internationally viewing and observing, the kuffar, the mushriks, the non-Muslims, they, while playing golf and hitting golf balls into the bush, are making decisions for the Muslims to abide by fasting. While swimming, they are trying to decide how they going to place rifles on the shoulders of Muslims against Muslims. The whole world is focusing attention upon the Muslims and the progress of Islam. How to manipulate the Muslims to fight amongst each other and kill each other. All in the name that they are trying to protect Islam. Where did we hear that the Americans and Zionists and Israeli bloc has become so patriotic that they are now deciding to protect our blessed land? For their self-motivation, for their economical benefits, they are placing Muslims against Muslims. Why? Iman is God. We have to listen to the dictates of these kuffar and their ideologies. Spread of Islam in Africa has caused such concern that the Pope is now 40 times in Africa, opening one of the biggest churches in Ivory Coast. And openly the Vatican report says Islam is a threat to Africa. Islam is spreading too fast. But are you and I, what role we are playing for Islam? Look at ourselves, look at ourselves in the mirror and see and discern and ponder what you and I are doing about Islam. Are we standing in the way, or are we propagating or preaching? Check our actions. Locally, our condition, is none the better being kicked around like footballs and pushed around, pulled around by these foreign ideologies. Whereas we have got the solution, we have got the constitution, we have got the final Nabi, we have got the best kitab, we have got Islam, we have got the perfect deen, we have got everything. But still, we will imitate those other ideologies and follow their truth and name. Where they go, we go. And then you have to know, where is the help of Allah? Where is the support of Allah? Where is the unseen support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with salat. And this salat is a great solution for us. Shah Sahib, Shah Waliullah Dehlvi rahmatullah alayhi, in one of his kitab, Al-Fawz al-Kabir, which is a kitab, a book of the principles of and fundamentals of interpretation of the Quran Kareem, Usul al-Tafsir, in it he states that letters make up words, and combination of letters, they give a definite and a set specific meaning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used every word in the Quran al-Kareem. He chose it. And this word salat, sad, lam, ha, Shah Sahib says, if you look at its various derivations by adding to it, then you will get the meaning coming out to set right, to guide, to rectify, to ratify, something that is going off course, to put it right, to correct, to straighten, to arbitrate, to mediate. All these things come out from the root Swad, Lam, Ha, Salah. And on the marginal notes of a kitab called Aqaid al-Nasafi, Sharh Aqaid al-Nasafi, it is written that how this word was used in the days of ignorance and how apt this word is and why it's so important is Salah. It is stated that the Arabs, they had a method of straightening a crooked wood. They took that wood which was crooked, which was bent, and they decided they were to straighten that wood for their purpose. So what they did, they dug in the ground a groove, and they took out that side, obviously, and they placed that crooked wood on top of that groove. Then they took that sand out, and they, which they had come out from the groove, and they placed it on top of that wood. So they have got an empty groove, then they have got the crooked wood on top, and they have got the sand. On top of the sand, they took live cinders, burning coal, of various temperatures, and they placed it atop there. And they modulated that heat. They fluctuated that heat. They increased that heat and decreased it, knowing the art that the wood won't burn. And as the minutes and the hours passed, that wood should straighten. That crooked wood should straighten. Eventually what should happen and transpire, that crooked wood should straighten and fall into that slot, into that groove. How they knew that? The sand should fall down and the ground should become practically level, only that wood inside. And the Arab who is doing this process, in ecstasy he should shout out, Salu al-Hatam, that wood has straightened. The crookedness of the wood has been removed. That bent wood has been straightened. Now salat, if a person makes salat, how salat is supposed to be made, then the crookedness in myself will go away. Then the crooked personality will go away. Then the bent views will go away. Then the rottenness will go away. Then the evilness will go away. Then the filth will go away. Hatred will go away. Envy will go away. Malice will go away. Greed will go away.
loves of the dunya will go away. And he will become straight. His transactions will be straight. Dealing will be straight. He will have justice in him. He will have fair play in him. He will deal properly with Muslim and non-Muslim. He will have no time for oppressors. He will see oppression, recognize oppression. He will see tyranny, recognize tyranny. He will see and expose this. But the question arises here that many make salah, but still they are crooked. Many make salah. Sometimes the people say they occupy even the first salah, but still they are dealing wrongly. Still they are corrupt. Still they are cheating. Still they are exploiting. Still they are raising the rents up. Still they got no time for the poor and the needy and the destitute and the orphan. Still they have got a hard heart. What is happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely has said that salat will keep us away from fashai, will keep us away from iniquity, immodesty, wal munkar, and will keep us away from all those things which generally the people know that is wrong. Definitely will keep us away. So there are answers for that. First of all, when a person is making salat, that he has come for his reformation, he has come to rectify himself and correct himself. And just as the fan, when you have got a fan and it's spinning, and when you put the switch off, that fan does not stop immediately. The fan carries on spinning. Shaitan, the accursed one, via the rotten environment and future setup, and the media, has made us into materialistic beings, way towards evil, and our blood is way towards the direction, then we also, we have been stung by the shaitan. So when we come into salat, then it takes time for these qualities to go out. But one day, the person who is making salat, it will definitely dawn upon him to leave that sin. Secondly, that the person who is making the salat need not be making that salat properly. For example, we say, in the light of the Quran and the Hadith, that salat and dua has got power. It can make mountains move. But we also know that a bullet has got power. But if you take this bullet, and I have told you that bullet can kill an elephant, and you take that bullet and you throw it at the rat will die. Why? You haven't taken that bullet, you haven't taken the cartridge and put it in its right place, in the gun, and fire it. Similarly, salat, if you don't put sincerity, humility, meekness, correction of intention, if you don't put all these qualities inside, halal earning, halal clothing, halal setup, then that salat, that dua got no power. That's one. Secondly, if it got no power, it cannot change the person. Shawaliullah, Jalbi Rahmatullah, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Sharia outline that in salat we should not imitate three animals. And mostly you see that due to ignorance or lethargy and our attitude towards salat, that we do this. First of all, it comes in the hadith, don't perform salat like how the crow pecks. You'll see that the person going into ruku and within a second is out, and he's going into sajda and within a second is out, and before you know what happened, two ticks of a duck tail is standing outside and gossiping about the politics of the country, forgetting his rug. So take time. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that who is the thief? The worst thief. Sahaba said, Allah Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, the one who steals in salat. Sahaba said, how can a person steal in salat? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who makes his sajda and ruku quickly, not accordingly. That is why, according to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, it is for us, ta'dil al-arkan, to take time with your salat, that the various postures will be separate. According to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it is wajib. Another thing is, Shafi'i says, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that when you sajda, don't make sajda like the dogs. And many people are doing it unconsciously. That this portion here,
when you see that, see that this portion does not touch. Because when the dog sits and kneels, it lets this portion touch. When we do all these things, totally to Sharia, then the life and the spirit and the power and the vigor of the Salat is lost. Also, Shasab says that don't be the camel. When he's ruku, don't curve your back like how the back of the camel is. Don't do that. So if we don't do these things and come up to Salat, then our Salat will become strong and our Salat will become powerful. In Salat, why five times, why so much stress on it? This question must be answered. First of all, one basic thing, that Salat, Zakat, Hajj, smiling to a Muslim, aiding the poor and destitute, all these things are done wholly and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other derivations are to encourage us and to coax us to do the right thing. In Salat, you will get four types of benefits. Four types of benefits, for example, benefits pertaining to belief. Then benefits pertaining to politics, then economic and social benefits. These are the terms that we are acquainted with. That is why I presented this way. You can derive economical laws from Salat. You can derive social laws from Salat. You can derive political constitution from Salat. And you can derive belief from Salat. This is a text that I say, and skimming over a few things, later at some other stage I will go in detail and show you how you can do these things. Time is the factor, we all are running this way and that way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring in the day that we can address you for a stat, half an hour, so that we can convey some constructive messages in detail. As far as belief is concerned, a person standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu Akbar, and everything is becoming haram for him. Now he's listening to the Imam, now he's listening to the constitution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now he's listening to the law that he was abided by, now he's listening to what Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to listen, now he has to abide and look at the Amir, follow the Amir, now he has to make itaat of the Amir, he must not go ahead of the Amir, he must follow him in detail. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that that person who supersedes or goes before the Imam on the day of Qiyamah, he will rise up half his body the shape of a donkey. These two people are doing, before the Imam moves into ruku or sijda, people are down in ruku and sijda already. And here we are taught to follow your Amir, look at your Amir, and make it out of it. And you know that Allah is great. Allah is the only great. And when he is Salat, you know Allah is listening to us. We are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a context between the creation and the creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that what thoughts are coming in our mind and our heart. He knows what is flashing and what is coming and what is going. He knows whether we are thinking about our shop or business or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what we are thinking about. And when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then ruku is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then sajda is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Standing in ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ruku is no one. So no one besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sajda is for no one besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Standing in ibadat is for no one besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are basic things, these are simple things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our thoughts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipresent. And He alone is omnipresent. As far as belief, many other laws can be derived. As far as politics is concerned, that the quality of the Imam, that should be taken into consideration. And in Islam, the democratic system is not Islamic. The democratic system is a fallacy. One man, one vote is not Islamic. In Islam, there is qualified votership for qualified candidateship, for qualified amirship. This corrupt system of democracy is not Islamic. Because of democracy, New York has got 2,000 people being murdered a year. Those people should worry and send a UN peace force to United to New York than anywhere else in the world. So all these things we can link to Salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us if we please Him. But if our girls, our mothers, our daughters, and if we partake in un-Islamic things, then we earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have intermingled sexes, then the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. If we, our girls are becoming Miss So-and-so in certain schools, then the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming. If we don't stop and take stock, if our girls are going around in beauty contests, and if our girls are taking part in drama, and the Muslim girl is being kissed by non-Muslims, that is wrong. I'm not saying that in the drama the Muslim girl will be kissed by a Muslim. Remember, that also is wrong. And all this is done in the spirit of education and culture, in the spirit of intelligence and civilization. Remember, a thing wrong is wrong. A thing un-Islamic is un-Islamic. And as long as we go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waste time with these useless sporting facilities also. Remember that these Zionists have designed the thing. I will lay the text, I'll explain later, that a Muslim must be involved in working and playing, and he must not worry about anything else. Production and then play. And he must not worry about what's happening. And a Muslim, a true Muslim, he must worry about praying and playing. He must worry about salat and zakat. He must worry about how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good conditions will come. We displease him, then unfortunately, my respected elders and brothers, then we must wait for the storm. We must wait for the tide that is rising. And it's rising all over us. And the solution is only one thing, that we make our masjid abad. That we follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be saved. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will chastise us. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have got the Maharashtra Jamaat with us. People are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A traveler's dua is accepted. These people who are coming without any personal motivation in our locality, they're coming for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make the nusrat, stick to them, benefit from them, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will bring the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll be in this masjid till Sunday, thereafter proceeding to Rajwat for a day. Until Sunday, and then subsequently coming back to Masjid al-Noor. So they practice this whole week, they'll be with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to take advantage. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to make dua for the ummah, which is made towards the kufr ideology. Wa akhir da'wah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.